Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Are you ready? You don't know what's going to happen, so how do you know whether you're ready or not? Hallelujah. I'm ready for something special this morning. Anybody else ready for something special? We've had a special couple of weeks. Some of you have been saying how impacting the messages were in the first week of term. But the conclusion, if you like, the bottom line from all of that, and it was a wonderful week, wasn't it?
Yes.
Was that release of love that took place on the Thursday night. But of course, that was just the beginning of something, wasn't it? When I was teaching the first years on Thursday morning, I think we had a special time looking at the first letter of John and really being impacted by what he's saying about love. Very challenging, but at the same time, very encouraging. Pastor Clive was on fire on Sunday morning. But it's all about the same message of love. God is really on our case.
Yes, yes.
About what it means to love one another. And the thing that really challenged us, I think, on Thursday morning in the first year was this word from John's Gospel that whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And Jesus, of course, walked in love. So we need to see this morning what that means. If we're to love as Jesus did, then we better see how Jesus loved. If we don't understand how he loved, then we can't love in the same way that he loved us. And yes, he laid down his life for us, but he did more than just that. Or we need to see why he did that. Not just that we needed salvation, but what was in the heart and the life of Jesus that made his sacrifice of such effect. We're going to look at two passages of Scripture. But we're just going to read these and then see what God has to say to us through them. Let's turn first to Romans chapter 12. I mean, we're getting very near revival stuff now. Sunday morning was, that was great. I can remember so many messages like that from my own experience, and to see my son up there doing the same thing was just so wonderful. Praise God. Amen. Romans 12, verse 9. For we must be sincere about the way in which we love others. Say nothing superficial. Now say it with conviction. Nothing superficial. No external appearing to love one another. It has to come from the heart. Therefore, the heart has got to be right. If the heart isn't right, it won't be full of love. So what has got to be in the heart? Well, let's read on and see. So we must be sincere about the way in which we love others from the heart, not simply as a duty. We should hate anything that God regards as evil, but love what he considers good. As members of the same body, we are to be devoted to one another. So if this love is in our hearts, we will not be loving superficially, but we will be devoted to one another. You remember in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the four things that were, if you like, the mark of the early church. And one of those things was they devoted themselves to fellowship. Fellowship means the sharing of life. So they devoted themselves to the sharing of their lives in love. Ready to devote yourself? Thank you for your response. We'll try that once more. Are you ready to devote yourself?
Yes.
But you can't devote yourself in love if you're doing something superficially. Hello? Superficial is not devotion. Are you there? This involves, Yes, as members of the same body, we are to be devoted to one another, loving each other as members of the same family. So we're all family.
Yes.
I said we're all family.
Yes.
Right. This involves honoring others above ourselves. Right, so if we love one another as he has loved us, there's going to be nothing superficial. We're going to be devoted to one another, loving each other from the heart, and we will honor one another.
Yes.
If there's no honor, there's no love.
Yes.
Now you see, you have to honor me, not just because I'm a leader or Pastor Jonathan or any of the others on the leadership. You are to honor us as leaders, but actually you are to honor us as brothers first. You see, the leaders to get double honor, aren't they? Honor as a brother and honor as a leader, double honor. I honor you as a brother or a sister. I don't honor you as a leader, but as a brother or a sister. If I don't honor you, I don't love you. Are we there? Okay. So this involves honoring others above ourselves. You see, if you stop honoring others, it's because you've placed yourself above others. Are we all on the same page here?
Yes.
Yeah. All got the same scriptures here? Yeah. So, honoring others keeps us in the right heart attitude of love. If we stop honoring, we stop loving. Can you see what Paul is saying? So this involves honoring others above ourselves, and always being eager to serve the Lord by doing whatever he asks of us, doing it with all our hearts. There's that word heart again. So we're devoted to one another. Now that's easy to say, but I mean, it's got to become reality, hasn't it? Right, we're devoted to one another, honor one another. We know that's right, but we've got to do it. Yes? And therefore serve one another.
Yes.
So already we see something of what this loving of one another is going to involve. Being devoted to one another from the heart, honoring one another from the heart, serving one another from the heart. This is the word of the Lord. Huh? Now, we all find it easier to love some people than others. But God has given you the others that you don't find easy to love to really develop your capacity to love. Because if you just love those who it's easy to love, you're just like the pagans. So Jesus said, you know, if you love... You know, but people out there in the world love those who love them. Even the pagans do this, Jesus said.
Yeah.
So you're not a pagan.
No. No.
So that means you love even those that are difficult to love.
Yes. Yes.
Even those that you don't naturally feel drawn to love.
Yes. Yes.
But you love them because they're your brother, your sister.
Yes.
Amen. You honor them because they're your brother or your sister.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Why does Paul say honor them? Because God's honored them.
Yes.
You see, if you're born again, you've been honored. Jesus Christ has come to live in you. If you've received the Holy Spirit, you've been honored. If the kingdom of God is within you, you've been honored by God.
Yes.
And if God honors you, then everybody else should honor you too. You know, every other believer. Amen?
Amen.
Even if you disagree with someone, you still honor them.
Yes.
And you still love them. Hallelujah. You can agree to disagree about a point of doctrine or something like that, but that doesn't stop you loving and honoring one another. Okay. Verse 12, we are also to radiate joy because we're a people of hope. So there's going to be something very joyful about this loving of one another. It's not a duty. It's something from the heart. And when it comes from the heart, it comes with desire. It's what you want to do. It's not what you are legalistically bound to do. So when God has poured his love into your heart by the Holy Spirit, he has done that so that you can rejoice to love. I had an interesting time. It was on Friday, I think. Just out of nowhere, it's funny how God does these kind of things sometimes. Just out of nowhere, he suddenly hit me with this tremendous release of a sort of love and joy. And I just went round the house rejoicing and praising and shouting my head off. And you think, well, where did that come from? I love it when God does those things,
yes.
You know. I mean, I wasn't praying. It wasn't a prayer time or anything like that. It was just like the Holy Spirit suddenly, bam! And you think, well, hallelujah. It's neat, isn't it? The different ways in which God chooses to work. So, let's turn now to First Letter of John. Now, if we could keep going till lunchtime, which we may do, you never know. But we could go right the way through this. But we want God to do stuff, not just to speak to us, yes? If we go to chapter 2, we're look at verse 3 for a moment. We are sure that we have really come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, yes, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is, does not live in him. Now, that means if we don't love one another, we're liars. If we don't honor one another, we're liars. If we're not devoted to one another, we're liars. And we know who the father of lies is, don't we?
Yeah.
So that can't be right. Amen? But if we know the truth, John is saying, then we do the truth. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So, verse 5, if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly expressed and fulfilled in him. Now, God has poured his love into your heart by the Holy Spirit, yes?
Yes.
So his purpose is for you to express that love and to fulfill that love, which means the reasons why he has poured that love into your heart are to be fulfilled. There has to be the outworking of what God has put into your heart, that love. Are we all here? So if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly expressed and fulfilled in him. This demonstrates that we truly live in him. Now, what did John say? What did Jesus say in John 15? Abide in me and I in you. Yes? Continue to live in me and I will continue to live in you. But then he said, continue in my love. Abide in my love. Why? Because if we live in him, we live in love. Because he is love. And Jesus, therefore, has a heart of love.
Yes.
Could Jesus do anything superficial?
No.
No. Could Jesus do anything insincere?
No.
No. Could Jesus do anything that was partial but not wholehearted? No. He did everything from the heart. What kind of heart did he have? Well, he had a heart of love, a humble and gentle heart. He described his own heart as being. So everything that Jesus says and does comes out of love. Now, where did he pour his love by the Holy Spirit? Into your heart. Why? Because his purpose is that everything you say and do flows out of love. If it flows out of love, it's come from God. If it doesn't flow out of love, it hasn't come from God. So it's either come from you or the enemy. I mean, your flesh or the enemy. If it's of love, it's of God. If it's not of love, it's not of God. Is that all right?
Yes.
I mean, it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Okay, let's just go on here. So this demonstrates that we truly live in him. Whoever claims to live in him has to demonstrate this by walking as Jesus did. He must do this, the Greek says. Now, there's not many things in the New Testament that we're told we must do. We must be born again. But we must also walk as Jesus did. Now, if we walk in Jesus as Jesus did, we're going to walk in
love.
In what?
Love.
In love. But it's not going to be a superficial love. It's going to be a sincere love. It's going to be a devoted love. It's going to be a love that honors, a love that serves, a love that gives. Now, Jesus said, didn't he, that he has loved us in the same way that the Father loves him. Can you see the sequence here? The Father loves the Son. The Son loves his disciples. And the disciples love one another. But, according to Jesus, it's all the same love. That the love the Father has for the Son is the same love with which he loves his disciples. And the love with which the disciples are to love one another is that same love with which Jesus loved them, that same love with which the Father loved Jesus.
Amen.
Are you sure you're at the same meeting that I'm at here? Because I'm having a good time up here.
Yeah.
So we've got the Father loving the Son loving the disciples loving one another,
yes.
All with the same love. Now, how did the Father love the Son? Well, he gave him everything he needed. The words to speak, the power, the authority. He made that clear. You know, this isn't me, it's the Father. The power, everything he needed. But he also honored the Son. Do you remember what Jesus said? That the Father did certain things so that people would honor the Son as they honored the Father. And then he said, the Father honors me, but you, when he was talking to the Pharisees, but you dishonor me. So the Father gives, provides, honors. What does Jesus do then for the disciples? He gives, blesses, provides, honors. How are we to love one another? We're to give, bless, serve, provide, honor one another.
Yes.
I am speaking English. I'm not speaking in tongues. I sort of feel like speaking in tongues, but you can understand what I'm saying. Yes?
Yes.
It's all so simple to say. But, of course, what we have to do is to put it into action. So, let's go on, because, I mean, it's all, the whole of 1 John. Hallelujah, praise God. But we'll go on to chapter 3. I just want to focus on what I believe the Lord wants us to focus on. Chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed through death with Jesus on the cross, to a new life we have in him, and the evidence of this is that we now love our brothers. Right, are you ready? Are you ready? You see, you're afraid to say yes because you don't know what I'm going to say next. Now, according to the scripture, and according to what John is saying here, you have passed through death to life.
Yes.
Now, Jesus said the same thing in John 5:24, that those who believe in him and the Father who sent him have eternal life. They have already passed from death to life. Now, how do you pass from death to life? Well, you go through death, through being co-crucified with Christ, into life. Now, when you pass through death, what died? Everything that is not of love. Everything that is a denial of God and of his purposes. And because God is love, everything that is not of love died. So what's it doing in your life now? You see, if there is anything that is not of love, it's deception. It's not the truth. Why? Because when you passed through death, everything that is not of love died. And God then poured the love of his Spirit into your heart so that now you can love with his love. Now, you haven't got to put to death whatever is not of love. You've got to recognize that it's died.
Oh, yes.
That attitude does not need to persist in my life because I've passed through death and into life. I pass through that phase of not loving into the new life where God has now given me the capacity to love and to honor everyone. If I don't do that, it's my fault. It's nobody else's fault. You see, I could say, well, this person is difficult to love. God says, yes, but you have passed through death to life, and I have poured my love into your heart so you have the capacity to love. You might say, well, I find it difficult to honor this particular person. But God says, well, you have passed through death into life, and I have poured my love into your heart so that you can honor him or honor her. And that is my command. Why? Because anything that dishonors is not actually the other person, it's you. Anything that is difficult to love in someone else, it's not that person, it's you, because you actually have the capacity to love them. So you can't blame anybody else. You can't say, oh, well, if they were easier to love, or if they hadn't done this, or hadn't done that, or hadn't said this, or hadn't said that, then I would be able to honor. It's got nothing to do with them, because Jesus made clear, nothing outside a man defiles a man, but only that which comes from his own heart. Now you see, what God did when you passed through death, it was to give you a new heart.
Amen.
New heart and a new life, poured his love into your heart by the Holy Spirit. So you have the capacity to love, to honor, to serve, to be devoted to others, because of what God has already done and has already given you. Pardon?
Amen.
I didn't hear it.
Amen.
That's what you call a delayed response. Why do we find this so difficult? It's very simple. It's very obvious. You've only got to look at the scriptures. But you see, we're very good at making excuses for ourselves not loving. Oh, with the circumstances, oh, well, this is difficult, that's difficult, this person, that person, he did this, she said that. And Jesus says, it's got nothing to do with the circumstances, it's all your own heart. See, if you judge instead of honoring, it's because that's what's in your heart. If you ignore someone instead of giving to them, you do that because that's what's in your heart. If you focus upon yourself instead of others, you do that because that's what's in your heart. But what, you see, what Jesus is saying, and what Paul and John are saying, they're all saying the same thing. They're all singing from the same song sheet here. It's just a question of where you put your focus, whether you put your focus on yourself or on the truth of what God has already done and accomplished. You see, you really do only have one problem, and that's yourself.
Yes.
You can blame others as much as you like, but your only problem is yourself.
That's true.
You can't even blame the devil, because Jesus has given you authority over him. So if you let him score points against you, you're the one to blame. You're the one who's responsible. You are the only problem that you got.
Yes.
You can blame others till you're blue in the face, and nothing will change until you have a change of heart.
Oh, yes. Praise God. Thank you.
Which is what repentance is, isn't it? Change of heart, change of mind, heart, mind.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are we all here?
Yes.
Okay. So, chapter 3, verse 14 again. We know that we have passed through death with Jesus on the cross to the new life we have in him. And the evidence of this is that we now love our brothers. See, what is the evidence of the new life? The way you love others. Now, you see, the point that all these New Testament writers are making is that that love cannot be selective.
Yes, that's right.
We can all sort of choose certain people to love because we either want to love them or feel a particular call to love them. Loving people out in society, like some people will love the addicts and alcoholics and so on, because God has given them a love, a compassion, a concern for them. But having a love for particular people does not excuse you from loving others. Because that love for others outside the community has to come out of the love you have for those who are part of the community. That's why Jesus prayed that, Father, may there be one. May there be this wonderful love for one another within the body, this honoring of one another, so that when people come in, they get loved, they get honored, they get absorbed into this atmosphere where everybody is devoted to one another. And as soon as they become part of that community, everybody is devoted to them, even if they've got green hair and five earrings. Hello. Because, I mean, you know, if they get born again, then they'll get rid of the earrings and the green hair, but give them time. Because, you know, they realize that they don't have to make such fashion statements. Once they're born again, they've got a different identity, haven't they? Their identity isn't in their green hair. This is too deep for some of you, but for the more advanced scholars in your midst. Hallelujah. Verse 18, dear children, it means nothing to say you love others. I mean, I've had this experience. I'm sure you've had the experience. Where somebody comes and says, Pastor Colin, I really love you, but... And for the next 5 minutes, they try to devastate you. Sheep follow and goats butt. So, you know, they come as goats, not as sheep. I really love you. Well, that sounds good, but it does not sound good at all. Because there aren't any buts in this loving one another. Hello?
Amen.
Dear children, it means nothing to say you love others. It is only your actions that show whether you truly love them or not. Mm-hmm. This is how you can be sure that you or anyone else belongs to the truth. Can you see that if you are not walking in love, you're not walking in the truth? If you're not walking in devotion to one another, you're not walking in the truth. If you're not walking in honoring one another, you're not walking in the truth. Hello? You might be walking in the truth in some areas of your life, but not in that area, which means you're limping. You're not walking, you're limping. You've got one foot in the truth and another foot in deception. Because anything that is not of the truth is deception. So that gives you a spiritual limp. Not very good, is it? If you've got two sound legs, walk on them. Don't just hop along on one leg. You don't need spiritual crutches when God has poured his love into your heart by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you there?
Yes.
Right. So this is how you can be sure that you or anyone else belongs to truth, and how you can be at peace with God when in his presence. And who knows, if you're at peace with God, you'll be at peace with others.
Yes.
If you're not at peace with others, you're not at peace with God.
Yes.
Very interesting. Okay? Without any condemnation in your heart. See, I'll read on that. I'm tempted to preach to you, but I'll just let the words say. For God is far greater than our hearts, and he knows and understands everything that is going on in our lives.
Yes?
Yes. Can't hide anything from him. You can't say, oh, Lord, I didn't really think that. Lord, I didn't really have that attitude. Oh, Lord, I... Doesn't work, does it? Because he even knows what you're going to say before you say it. Why? Because he looks not on the outward appearance, but on the heart. He can see what is in the heart. And he says, uh-oh. What's going to come out of that? Yeah, there you go. I knew it. He sees the impurity of heart. Now, let me tell you something. Those with impure hearts accuse others of having impure hearts. The very fact that they accuse others shows their own impurity of heart. Now, we want to keep our hearts pure before God, yes?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, let's read on, because there's some interesting stuff coming up here. Verse 21, my dear friends, if there is nothing in our hearts to make us feel condemned, we can have confidence before God. Yes!
Amen.
You know, when God hit me on Friday afternoon with that joy, it went boom, and it was sort of liberty and freedom thing. God said, there is nothing in your life for which you are condemned. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And it was, you know, I was just rejoicing. But you see, that is the fruit of faith in the truth. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And we are called to walk as Jesus did because we live in Christ. Whoever lives in Christ must walk as Jesus did. So we walk free of condemnation. Now, if you walk free of condemnation, you don't have to condemn anybody else.
Yes.
You certainly won't judge them or anything like that, will you? Are you there? Okay, well, let's read on. This is because we are living in obedience to his commands. No condemnation. Freedom. Why? Because we're living in obedience.
Yes.
And we all love that word.
Obedience.
Oh, hallelujah. And are doing what pleases him. And this is his command, as you know well. First, to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, your Savior and Lord. And then to love others. Mm-hmm. And allow them to love you. Mm-hmm. As he has commanded us. Those who obey his commands show they continue to live in him, and he lives in them. We can be sure that he does live in us because he has given us his Spirit. Now, just have a look at the first verse. I don't want to talk for a long time on this, but the Holy Spirit, when I was preparing for this morning, just said it's important to understand what is said in the first verse in the light of all this love. Dear friends, do not trust in every spiritual power. Test the various spiritual forces that want to influence your life. Now, you see, what John is saying is there will be other spiritual forces that try to influence your life, even though you're born again, even though you're living in Christ, even though Christ is in you. Because those other spiritual forces are at work in the world all around you. So we have to test the various spiritual forces that want to influence our lives so that you can determine what is truly from God and what is not. Okay, what's the easiest way to test that? Well, if it is of love, it is of God. If it's not of love, it's not of God. It's of some other spirit, but it certainly is not of God. If it's of mercy, it's of God. If it is not of mercy, it's not of God. If it's of grace, it is of God. If it's not of grace, it's not of God. Huh? Because he expresses his love in mercy and in grace.
Yes.
Can we see that? Mm-hmm. When people come under the influence of a spirit that is a wrong spirit, it's very difficult to convince them of the truth. Mm-hmm. Because what has happened is they become self-righteous and they're convinced that they are right, even though the spirit that is influencing them is not that spirit of love, that spirit of mercy, that spirit of grace, that spirit of compassion. Now, we are devoted to one another in love, to love one another, to honor one another, to serve one another. So we resist any spiritual influence that would go against that. Say, well, that's not of God. My dear children, this starts as just a thought. A negative thought about someone has not come from the Holy Spirit. It has come from another spirit. Either it's come from your own impure heart or it's come from another spirit. You've got a choice of the two. If it's come from your own impure heart, then you better do some heart business with the Lord. If it's come from another spirit, you better take the shield of faith and put it in place quickly so that arrow does not penetrate your heart and take root in your heart. If it's of God, it will be full of love, it will be full of forgiveness, it will be full of compassion, it will be full of grace, it will be full of joy. Mm-hmm. It will be full of all the positives. So, test the various spiritual forces that want to influence your life, so that you can determine what is truly from God and what is not. Realize that there are many false prophets in the world inspired by false spirits. See, what is a false prophet? Well, they say that whatever comes from God when it doesn't. The devil likes to appear as an angel of light, yeah? And you know his most subtle way of working, one of his most subtle ways of working, is to try to convince you that you are right. Yeah. He wants to convince you that you are right. Mm. Mm. But you see, if you look at the scriptures, you know there's only one who is right, and his name is Jesus. Yeah. And you're clothed not with your righteousness, but with his righteousness. It's not that you are right, it's that he's right, and he is the only one who is right. Are we all breathing here? That's just as well, otherwise we need a mass resurrection. That would be an interesting keynote. Mass resurrection at Rafi. Praise God, the dead were raised to life. April 2011. Now, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Must walk in love. Must walk in mercy. Must walk in grace. Must walk in his righteousness, not self-righteousness. Must walk in joy, because it was the anointing of the oil of joy that was upon him that raised him above his companions. Joy, you often hear me say that joy is the barometer of your faith. When you lose your joy, something's wrong. Something's wrong. You remember David, when in his great prayer of repentance in Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Where's it gone? He lost the joy because something wasn't right. As soon as everything comes back into right order, your joy gets restored. See, it's very interesting talking to you guys week in, week out, and lecturing to you students day in and day out. Because you can see, you can perceive, a little bit of experience, you can perceive what is going on in people. And I can see some of you, you get restless, you lose your joy, you're chatting at the back instead of praying when others are praying, doing all kinds of stuff like that. Why? Because something's not right in your heart. You're restless. Joyless. Oh, it's gone quiet. But you see, if I can see it, the Lord can surely see it. Even more clearly than I can see. But he wants to do something about it.
Amen.
Or rather, he wants you to do something about it. Because if it's your heart, you have the responsibility. There are lots of situations where, humanly speaking, I would want to jump in and do something. And God says, you keep out, the heart is not right, the heart needs to be turned back to me. And therefore, if the heart isn't right, whatever you say or do will be rejected. You've got to allow, you've got to just be patient and allow me to deal with the heart. And so I obey and I say, please hurry up, Lord. But you know what he says when I say, think, because you do say, well, Lord, you know, do it quickly. He says, I'm already speaking, but what I'm saying has been rejected.
Yeah.
Why? Because if something is not right in the heart, God will address that. He will address it immediately. He won't wait. He'll address it. But you see, if the heart isn't right, we tend to fend off what he's saying. Are there any believers in the room?
Yeah.
Praise God. And we need open hearts, teachable hearts, yes. Humble hearts, yes. Submissive hearts.
Amen.
What does he want to do? Purify the heart.
Yes.
Those with pure hearts will see God. And let me tell you, if you're in the place where you can see God, you're in the place of joy, you're in the place of freedom, you're in the place of no condemnation. Amen. And what on earth are we going to do with a message like this? Well, we better do it.
Yes.
Not just listen to it and say, wow, yeah, heard God this morning. Really? You see, if you hear God, you do something. You don't just file it away. Oh, well, that's another keynote. See what he comes up with next week. No. You see, God is on our case with this love. Everywhere you turn now, it's love. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. You know, I've told you about that amazing love that was in the revival in Luton. Shall I tell you why it was there? Because God gave us this great love. And then he said to me, now I've got to teach you how to use that love to love one another. And for 10 months, every message on Sundays and at other times, every message was about loving one another. Every time we prayed together, the prophetic words were about loving one another. Now, it actually produced the first problem that we had to face, because some people said, we already do love one another. We have this great love, and all these people that are coming to visit, they see this love and they say, wow, where did you get this love from? Never seen love like this. And the others said, you know, God is right. We have this love, but we don't know how to express it to one another. And you see, what God taught us over those months was how to put that love into action. Yes. So that there was the unity that commanded the blessing and made that church so fruitful, really, far beyond anything we could have imagined all over the world. So, it isn't just listening to a message. God is likely to be on our case now until he sees it being outworked. But it's not going to take 10 months, because we don't only just meet on Sundays. The whole thing can be sped up. So by the time you go out on your placements, you'll be loving anything that moves. You'll even love the pastor's cat, which will be the most extreme test of anybody's love, as far as I'm concerned. Hallelujah. So how are we going to respond now? That's the point. Well, what God said to me this morning is that there's only one way to respond, and that has to be from the heart. Because we're to love one another from the heart. And if that is not your heart desire, it won't happen. Now, let me just remind you of something that the Lord was putting before us in the first week of term. He's given us that love, but we have to have the will to do it. It isn't going to happen automatically, or else God wouldn't even be speaking like this to us this morning. And these words wouldn't need to be in Scripture. If as soon as you receive the Holy Spirit, you just automatically loved everyone and was devoted to everyone. But it's not like that. We've lived so much for ourselves that it actually takes the time, doesn't it, to learn to live for others, to be devoted to others rather than ourselves, to honor others above ourselves. Isn't that what it said? Yeah. I thought that's what it said. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
To honor others above ourselves. And to do this, not superficially, but from the heart. So just close your eyes while you're sitting there for a moment. We're going to stand and pray in a little while, but just sit there for a moment. And I want you just to think. You can ask the Holy Spirit to guide your thinking. But just think. What needs to change in your heart? In your heart attitudes? What you say comes from the heart, Jesus says, so what needs to change in the way you speak? Especially in the way you speak about others. So you speak about them in love. Of course, it's not only what you say, it's what you do. Are your actions towards others motivated by real love and devotion to them? Or are you picky and choosy about who you love and just do things rather superficially? I don't know, but you will know. Then just ask yourself whether you really honor others above yourself. Or even, do you really honor others? Not just the leadership, but one another, your brothers, your sisters. Then just ask yourself, have I been blaming others? When all the time it's my own heart that hasn't been right. Have I been excusing myself when I'm really the problem? Now you've passed through death to life. So, what does all this tell you about what you need to reckon as dead? You've been allowing stuff that actually should have been reckoned dead. That's the phrase Paul uses. You count or you reckon those things as dead, but they're actually having an ongoing impact on your life because you don't reckon them as being dead. So they're allowed to persist in your life. Okay, one last question, and then we're going to actually bring it all to the Lord. So in the light of all this, what do you want God to do in your heart? What does he need to do before you leave this room this morning? Because this isn't a word that you can respond to tomorrow. It has to be, there has to be an immediate response, doesn't there? It has to be a now response. A non-response is a no response to the Lord. Okay, just put your things down and stand up and just open your heart to the Lord now. Begin to engage with him. So that he can work in you the very things that you've just been thinking about. It's time to get those hearts right, isn't it? And it's time to reckon as dead those things that should have passed away because you've gone through death to life. But get those hearts purified and cleansed, because they've been holding on to negative stuff that should really have died. Yeah? That death with Christ was the shedding of his blood. So, Lord, we just look to you now for that cleansing of your blood, fresh cleansing on our hearts. Every negativity, every unclean thing, everything that is not of love, Lord, wash those things. Wash us thoroughly and make us clean. So that only the love of your Spirit that you put into our hearts is left, that there's nothing that negates that love. There's nothing that works against that love. There's nothing that compromises that love that is left in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Now, it doesn't take long for the Lord to forgive you. If you believe that he's just cleansing your heart, just reach up now, just open your heart, raise your hands to the Lord, and just believe for a fresh release of his Spirit being poured into your heart, just releasing that love of the Holy Spirit, so that what flows out now is going to be that love. What flows out now is going to be that honoring. What flows now is that serving, that giving, that blessing. Hallelujah, that you will be devoted to others, that you will lay down your life for others, that, oh, you will express that love of Jesus, the love the Father has for the Son has for the disciples have for one another. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Give you all the glory. Give you all the honor. Give you all the praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. I bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now take that shield of faith against all the fiery darts of the evil one. Now, we've seen, you know, when there's anything that is not of love, it's either from your own impurity of heart, or it's come from a false spirit, one or the other. You can't blame anybody else. It's one or other of those things. Now, you've just asked the Lord to deal with the heart, so take this shield of faith now and just reject all those thoughts, all those fiery darts, all those attitudes that the enemy wants to fire at you, to try to undermine the love that God has poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit, that wants to try to stop you honoring others or serving them and being devoted to them. We take that shield of faith. We thank you, Lord, that your purposes are worked through faith, working through love. And we just reject all those lying accusations, all those false, deceptive things that the enemy wants to try to sow in our hearts. We just thank you for these clean hearts, Lord, and we're going to keep them clean. We're not going to accept anything that the enemy fires at us. Hallelujah. Lord, just give us that grace to say no, even to the negative thoughts. To say no immediately and not allow any of those things to get sown into our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for clean hearts. Thank you for purified hearts. Thank you for hearts of love. Thank you, Lord, for hearts devoted to one another. Thank you for hearts that have passed through the death and into life. Thank you for hearts full of your love, full of your life. Oh, rasatapa razatapa karasita. Bazandaria lero bakarasitu di sataria lero bakarasitu. Bazandaria lero bakarasitu di sataria lero bakarasitu.
Bazandari alero bakara sitri satari aleto bakara sandam. Bambara zatari alero bakara sitri satari aleto. Oh, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your victory. We thank you for the authority that you've given us over all the works of the enemy. Thank you, Lord, that when we resist the enemy, he flees from us. Because we have submitted ourselves to you. And we just give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. We bless you, Jesus. Now, Lord, we want to thank you for speaking to us. Not just this morning, but with this same message of love and of loving one another. Thank you for the message on Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, for what you did last week. Thank you for what you did in the first week of term. Thank you, Lord. It's all building up. The revelation of what you're saying to us is just so clear. Pura la bazatari aleto pa. Bazandari aleto pa karasitri sandama. Barandari alero bakara sitri sato bakala sato bakala sinoma. Bazandari alero bakara sitri sandoma. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Purata bakara sitopa. Now, just keep in prayer for a moment, but there's something very important God wants to do. You know, when our hearts are not right, we do things that later we regret, because we realize, well, I wasn't in the right place with God, I didn't have the right attitude, I slammed this person, I did that, I, you know, all kinds of things. Now, you've asked God to purify your heart. Just ask him to forgive any stuff that you were doing in relation to him, in relation to others, while that sort of impure attitude or that lack of love or whatever, so that you know now you walk away from all that. It's all forgiven. God has done a new thing in your heart. And so it's going to be different now. You're not going to continue in that stuff. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you for your mercy that just washes away all that stuff. And thank you, Lord, that now you give us the grace for amendment of life, for a change, a transformation in our walk in the future. And we just give you all the glory, Lord. Now, we thank you above all that this gives us confidence before you, as we've read in your word this morning, and that you will give us whatever we ask because our confidence is restored. So come on, just thank the Lord for a restoration of confidence. You see, when the heart isn't right, you lose your confidence. When you lose your confidence, you don't see the same results in prayer. But when God cleanses the heart, he restores your confidence, and you begin to see breakthroughs in prayer. So if there's some area of your life you need a breakthrough now, pray for that right now, while your heart is right, while God has cleansed you, purified you, brought you through to a new place. Come on, really pray with that conviction, with that confidence. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that although I lost my confidence, you have forgiven me, you have restored me, you have restored that confidence to me this morning. And I give you all the glory, Lord, that I can now pray with confidence, with expectation, or with real faith, Lord, that whatever I ask in the name of Jesus, you will give it to me, you will do it, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's hear the faith. Yes, 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 yes. Pura la bazatari alera bakara sato bakara sitri sandoma. Basandaria lero bakarasitri sataria lero bakarasita. Basandaria lero bakarasitri sataria lero bakarasita. Yes! Hallelujah! Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for not only a new release of confidence, but a new release of joy. We rejoice, Lord. We praise you. Come on, really rejoice in the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Pura la basata para sata bakada sita. Yes! Porala basataria. Porasata parasataria. Lord, we want to overflow with love. Overflow with joy. Overflow with your presence. Overflow with your power. Because you have restored the confidence of faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Porata parasata bakarasatu. Bazandari elero bakarasito di sato. Barandari elero bakarasito di satari elero bakarasino. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Poparazatari elero bakarasito di sandoma. Barandari elero bakarasito di sando bakarasito di sandoma. Bambarazatari elero bakarasito di sandoma. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Oh, Lord, your truth is so wonderful. Thank you that knowing the truth sets us free. And Lord, we thank you that you have set us free to give love and to receive love. And we pray, Lord, that in our relationships with one another, in the team, among the students, in the church, everyone connected with Kingdom Faith, that we will be devoted to one another in love. We will honor one another above ourselves. And we will serve one another out of pure hearts. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Amen. Come on, let's thank the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.